All right, for those that didn't know, she had a pacemaker put in this past week. You look good. If you hadn't heard, Lucille was trying to emulate the pastor and got a blood clot in her arm. Is that right? But she is back home, resting, healing nicely, from what I understand. It's funny because sometimes all the time I think through how I should start a message. And sometimes I want to say, well, can we be frank? And I think of Frank, like, oh, yeah, sure, we can be frank. Sometimes I look at the song set and I wonder, why did Tim pick that? And I was looking at the last song, and I was like, how does that fit with where we're going? And then one of the lines in one of the verses says, brother, sister, parent, child. And then the main chorus, Lord of all, to thee we raise this our hymn of grateful praise. All right, so can we be frank this morning? Can we be honest? Can we be candid? Sometimes, maybe not for all of us, but probably for more of us than we'd like to admit, sometimes the hardest part about the holiday season is not the extra commitments that we have, like the parties and gatherings that we've got to go to. Sometimes it's not the extra service or two at church. Sometimes it's not even the extra financial stress or strain that it puts on a family. You know, November and December can be tight. Sometimes the hardest part about the holiday season is hanging out with the people we are expected to hang out with. I'm talking about family. Now, for those of you who are familiar with people who are sitting in this room, I want you to know, Mom, this is not about you. And for my parents who also listen online, Mom, Dad, this is not about you. When Pastors Jason, Elena, and I sat down to plan this series out, a series that we're calling Holiday Classics, where we're taking some of the movies, the classic movies, and picking a theme out of them and showing God's Word, how that fills into that theme, when we sat down and planned this, I had never even seen National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. I know. It's crazy. If you want to leave now, you can, but we've got bouncers in the back who will make sure you stay. I watched it last week, for the first time ever, and as I was watching it, you know, watching the hang-ups, the hiccups, the things that took place, I realized, you know, I can see why a lot of people would relate to this. I can see why there might be struggle for some people in the holiday season to spend extra time in smaller spaces with their family. If we're candid, if we're honest, let's just say it, families don't always get along. Our quirks bug us. We prioritize different things. We're not necessarily the same people that grew up under the same roof. And I want to tell you, sometimes when we get together with family, it can be difficult, and that's okay. It's funny because already, like this morning, nobody knew what we were preaching on, and yet I had two or three conversations with people who were wrestling with some family challenges, and I'm like, oh, this is going to be good. Maybe. Or it's going to be really bad. Spending time with extended family over the holidays can be taxing, can be challenging, can be vexing, can be trying, you name it. Okay, here's a couple of scenes from National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation that you may or may not relate to. But as you're watching them, ask yourself, have I ever felt like that? Have I ever thought that? Here's those scenes.
Coming for Christmas, too. You know, it's not too late to change our plans.
No, that's great. It's great.
I think you're forgetting how difficult it's going to be having everybody in the house at the same time.
Honey, they're family. They're not strangers off the street.
All they do is argue.
Christmas is about resolving differences and seeing through the petty problems of family life.
Yeah, and it's about my mother accusing your mother of buying cheap hot dogs and your mother accusing my mother of waxing her upper lip and Then they don't speak to
each
other.
Your mother waxes her upper lip?
She has for years.
Doesn't show.
I don't know, Sparky. I just have this feeling.
Ellen,
that it's not gonna...
I want to have Christmas here in our house. It means a lot to me. All my life I've wanted to have a big family Christmas.
Fluid out of my lower back.
You see this mole? This mole on my neck? You think it's changing color?
No. Well, you keep touching it, it's getting redder.
I got hemorrhoids. Can you believe that?
Oh, mother.
Isn't that terrible?
You're not getting the garage space.
No, my I'm doing the parking. Rush, you want to help me?
They're not sleeping in my room. They're going to go crazy.
So there, sweetheart.
Your grandma has got a real painful burr on my heel. And if you rub it for me, I'll give you a whole quarter.
Okay? A quarter.
And I'll give Audrey a quarter, too, Audrey.
I'm going to park my car in the garage.
This is what Christmas is all about. I'll park the cars and check the luggage, and I'll be outside for a season.
You know, it's not like the Griswold family doesn't like... Well, they don't love, It's not like they don't love their parents, their siblings, their cousins, but maybe they don't always like them. Yeah. I wonder if God's word has something to say about that this morning. Let's pray, and then Elena's going to share a bit. Lord God, thank you so much that we can laugh together as a family, family of faith. I thank you that we can learn together, and I pray that you would keep our ears open to what you want us to hear this morning. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
I think we've established that we all have some challenges sometimes. We've all had to deal from time to time with this issue of families, even if we don't maybe like them very much. So I will be the first to admit it. And if my parents are listening, it's not you. I love you. And I like you. Yes. But this video, these video clips, they struck a chord with me. And maybe with some of you too. The holidays can bring out the best in people, but they can also bring out the worst. And it's our family. High at this time. And we. What?
Pardon us for technical difficulties. Okay, here it is. All right. You're going to have to bear with. Yeah. Ooh, yeah. Podium. All right. Look, there's a new fancy one. I don't know where that came from, but we're gonna borrow it. Okay. I feel so official right now. Okay. Okay. So, where was I? Okay. We can find ourselves in close proximity with people during the holidays that we don't really spend a lot of time with usually. And maybe there's a good reason we don't normally spend a lot of time with them, but this time of year, we all have to do what we do. Now, I'm going to just paint a little picture. You're sitting around the Thanksgiving table, okay? And across from you is Great Uncle George. And his political leanings are basically exactly the opposite of yours. And good old Georgie loves to have a debate. And then on the other side, you've got Cousin Myrtle. And she just is a kind of a perfectionist. She wants the perfect family picture in front of the Christmas tree or the holiday decorations, even if it takes an hour and a half to get that picture just right. And then there's your sister sitting down on the other side of the table, and she cannot stop talking about little Janie's perfect grades or young Richie's future as a soccer star. And all you want to do is find a plate of cookies and curl up in the corner and hide for the rest of the season. Now, it shouldn't be too surprising that Scripture has something to say about how we deal with our families and even how we can love them in spite of themselves. Now, God made this a point in the Big Ten, in the Ten Commandments. He said in Deuteronomy 5:16, "Honor your father and mother, as the Lord God commanded you, and then you will live a long, full life in the land the Lord your God is giving you." Now, clearly, God thinks family relationships are important. In order to better understand his view on the subject, Pastor James and I want to focus on the book of Ephesians. I'd like you to open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5, if you have them. Turn on your tablet or your phone. And it's also going to be up here on the screen. And I'm going to read, starting in chapter 5, verse 21. I'm going to read all the way through chapter 6, verse 9. So I recognize there's a lot here. And you've probably heard it before, probably read it before. You probably heard a few sermons on it before. But this time, as I read, I want you to listen specifically for those instructions on how we should be treating one another and why it matters. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated their own body, but they feed and care for their body, just as Christ does the church, for we are members of his body. Skip ahead to chapter 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. Obey them not only to win their favor when their eye is on you, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. Serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not people, because you know that the Lord will reward each one for whatever good they do, whether they are slave or free. And masters, treat your slaves in the same way. Do not threaten them, since you know that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no favoritism with him. That's a lot. But let's go back to verse 21 of chapter 5. And Paul gives us this first clue on how we can love our families. He says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. I want to talk a little bit about that word submit. because it's one that can kind of get people's hackles up a little bit. This Greek word that's used here is hupotasso, and it's generally not talking about a blind dog-like obedience. Rather, it's talking about a choice that we make to make something subject to something else. For example, in Luke chapter 2, Luke uses this word hupotasso when telling the story of Jesus, when as a 12-year-old, Jesus goes with his family to Jerusalem for Passover, and he ends up staying there at the temple after his family left the city. They realize it, they come back, they find him, they scold him for scaring them, and Jesus responds, "Why were you searching for me? Didn't you know that I had to be in my Father's house?" But then you skip ahead to verse 51, and it says that Jesus returned to Nazareth with his parents, and he was submissive to them. He chose to submit to his parents' authority, even though he knew who his real father was. In Romans 13, Paul uses this word hupotasso to tell his audience that they need to submit to the governing authorities of the land, because authority is established by God. In 1 Corinthians 16, Paul urges his audience to submit themselves to those who have devoted themselves to the service of the Lord's people. So when we read in this Ephesians 5:21, where Paul tells his readers to submit to one another, he's asking them to make a choice to be humble and to put someone else ahead of themselves. Now, I want you to notice also that Paul says, submit to one another. I'm going to get really real here for a second and tell you that this is not one of my favorite passages of Scripture. Many people, especially women, I think, may dislike this passage because of this next section where Paul's giving these instructions to wives to submit to their husbands. And I don't want to focus too much on that right now because I'd like to get home in time for dinner today. But what I will say is that this instruction to submit to one another comes first. We're talking about mutual submission. Now, the other key part of this verse 21 is the second half, where Paul says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. We are not submitting to one another because one person is better than the other or more worthy or whatever, but rather we're doing it out of reverence for Christ. Now, I also want you to notice that Paul doesn't say submit to one another because you like each other or because you think that the other person makes a really good leader. Instead, he says to do it because you love Jesus, and this is the example that he has set. See, even Jesus, as I said, was in submission to his Father, both his earthly Father when he was a child and his heavenly Father. And if you go back to the beginning of this chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, it seems pretty clear that our reverence for Christ comes out of an example that he gave us. It says, "Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." Jesus made putting others in front of himself into an art form, and we are to imitate him. Now in verse 22, when Paul tells the wives to submit to their husbands, he says to do it as you do it to the Lord. Again, this is a choice that the wife is making. Paul's not telling husbands that they need to make their wives submit. He's telling the husbands that they are to love their wives and to sacrifice for them, just as Christ did for the church, following his example. Each person in this equation is to make a choice to put the other one first. Paul continues on with this theme in chapter 6, giving more instructions for families and other close relationships. In verses 1 through 3, he reiterates that fifth commandment. from Deuteronomy 5:16, and I like how the New Living Translation puts it. It makes it very clear why children should obey their parents. And I'll give you a clue. He doesn't say that they should obey their parents because their parents are perfect or because they're always right. Now, my children are not in here right now. They're downstairs, so they didn't get to hear me say that. But parents are not always right. Instead, it says, children, obey your parents because you belong to the Lord. For this is the right thing to do. Do it because you belong to the Lord. I love the next verse of chapter 6, verse 4, because to me it goes back to this idea that children aren't obeying because their parents are always exemplary. Paul says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. Rather, bring them up with the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord. I feel like Paul wouldn't have had to say that if all the parents were doing everything right 100% of the time. He had to remind the fathers not to exasperate or provoke their children. Instead, he wants parents to teach their kids in the ways of the Lord. The best way that I can think of doing that is by example. Children are little sponges. They soak up everything that they see and hear. And they're also mirrors that reflect back to us our behavior and our habits. So if we want our children to be imitators of God, then we need to be imitators of God. If we want our children to sacrifice for others and to put other people first, just as Jesus did and out of reverence for him, then we need to demonstrate following that example of Jesus. Now, this last section of the scripture that we're looking at to discover how we can love our families even if we don't like them very much sometimes, it's very helpful, I think. Verses 5 through 9, Paul is talking to slaves and masters. Now, this slave-master relationship is one that we don't really have a great frame of reference for. Slavery does exist in our society, but it doesn't look the same as it did back then. I'm not going to spend a lot of time talking about slavery right now either, because again, I want to get home in time for dinner tonight. So I'm just going to say that Paul's aim here is not to talk about the evils of slavery or to try and abolish it or anything like that. Instead, he knew that slavery was there and it existed and it was what it was. It was part of their society. Instead, he's telling servants, slaves, to serve their masters just as they would serve the Lord. Slaves, obey your earthly masters just as you would obey Christ. And in verse 7, he says, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not people. To me, this idea of serving as if you're serving the Lord and not a person is the key to how we can love our families during the holiday season. The scriptures are clear. Over and over, we're told that we need to love one another. I think the Lord knew that this wouldn't always be easy. Psalm 139:16 says, all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. And this includes the fourth Thursday in November and December 25th and all those other holidays in between. God knew that our family relationships can be difficult, and he shows us in his word how to deal with them in a way that is pleasing to him. He says, imitate me. Serve and honor and submit to the difficult people in your life because you love me. He gave us the example, and we just have to follow it. Now, James is going to get now into some practical ways that we can apply this scripture over the holidays this year and in all the years to come.
We'll see how practical I get. Elena, thank you. Did you catch what she said was the key to this idea, this hiccup we have of being around family a lot during the holidays? So the idea of serving as if you were serving the Lord is key to how we can love our families during the holiday season. maybe a challenging word for us to hear, but I think a necessary one. Sometimes I sit there and think, how would Jesus have celebrated Christmas with his family? And then I realize the irony of that, you know, there was no lights or trees in Bethlehem. There's the irony. We can use texts like the one that Elena chose and still apply them to us today. And I think we could boil down what Elena was saying into two kind of sub-points that make one ultimate point. Two sub-points being we need to submit to one another, there's that one another's, out of reverence for Christ. Now, those are churchy words, right? Submit and reverence. So if we tried to simplify it, it might sound more like sometimes, especially during the holiday season, when traditions and plans can be held so tightly to, sometimes we need to put our wants and desires on the back burner so that we can live more like Jesus. We could say it like that. We could simplify it even more and say something like, let others get their way. But you're not going to like that, so make sure you act as if they're doing it for Jesus, right? Or maybe we even just go even simpler. We remind ourselves of the one another's in Ephesians 5:21 and say it like this. Act like Christ in order to honor Christ. Act like Christ in order to honor Christ. Now, Elena hit on this. How did Christ act? He submitted, right? We see this when he was young as a 12-year-old going with his parents. We see it as he's hanging on a cross, submitting to the Father. The Apostle Paul wrote about this, not just in the letter to the church in Ephesus, but in the letter to the church of Philippi also. Listen to what Paul says. Philippians 2, verse 3 to 8. He says, don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Now catch this. Don't look out for your own interests during the holiday seasons, but take an interest in others too. Now there's a little addition that I put in there. Hopefully you caught that. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. So here's verse 5. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Whew. Must have the same attitude Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. And when he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Now, anyone want to argue with the fact that Christ submitted? I think he did. I think it's evident that he did. So we need to act like Christ in order to honor Christ. And that honoring Christ bit is really what was highlighted in the Ephesians 5 and 6 passage. You know, verse 21 says, yes, further submit to one another, and we get hung up on that, but it's out of reverence for Christ. And then the very next verse, wives, submit to your husbands, as to the Lord. You flip to almost the last verse that we covered in Ephesians 6:7. Work with enthusiasm as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. So, practically, what does that look like as we enter the holidays? Well, before I give you some practical examples, I want to give a caveat. I want to give an asterisk, okay? You need to hear this. When I give the following examples, I am not saying do whatever, whomever wants, whenever they want it. Okay, that's a lot of whom and what and where. I'm not saying do whatever, whomever wants, whenever they want it. There are people, even in our own families, that are toxic. We can admit that. There are people in our own families that may not be emotionally, physically, spiritually safe to be around. We have to use discernment as to how much, when, where to be around them. Is that clear? So I'm not just saying this overarching, submit always, all the time. You have to use discernment because there are times where it's not good to be together. Okay, so that being said, Nathan and I and Chris Sloan, Pastor Chris Sloan, Bites Ago, I think we know him. We were driving back from a one-day conference on Wednesday, and we were conversing about this, how do you practically serve your family during the holidays? And we came up with some really good ideas. I should say they came up with some really good ideas. So I came up with some like obvious, simple, cheesy ones, and anything that's good and deep came from them. All right? So practically speaking, how could we submit to one another? Well, how about this? Even if you don't want to have the traditional holiday meal, I mean, you may just want to have pizza for Thanksgiving. Someone said amen. I won't point out who. Abby raised her hand. This traditional meal means so much to some people that, you know what? Abby's mom says, yay. This is great. Sometimes we need to, you know, we can have that traditional meal and then we can have pizza the next day. Okay? Now again, that's a simple one. James thought of that. Sometimes, maybe you grew up opening presents on Christmas Eve. But the other people in your family, well, how would that work? In your extended family, maybe they didn't. So maybe, to keep from creating an argument, you just open gifts on Christmas morning. Not that big a deal. Okay, how about this? Some families just like the mad rush to the tree when it's time to open the presents. Others, and I grew up with this, like to open them very slowly, one gift at a time. And if you were given a book, it was okay to read the first chapter of that book before the next person opened their gift. Yeah, don't laugh, because I know some of you guys experienced that too, okay? So, one or the other. It might be okay to do one or the other, because again, you know, the 26th is going to arrive, and then the 27th, and then the 28th, and let's not have a big, massive blow-up on the 24th or the 25th, knowing that the 26th, 27th, 28th are coming. Okay? It could look like you saying, okay, I will go and drive around, look at the neighborhood lights with you, even though all I really want to do is stay in my jammies and watch National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. That could be submitting. All right. Now, on some deeper levels, maybe some more challenging levels, maybe that does look like, once again, driving to another city or another state to spend time with the aging parents who can't come to you. Sometimes you want to spend it in your own house, but for their sake, it may mean you go to them. Sometimes it might mean having people stay in your house that you value, that you cherish, that you keep set up a certain way, that you clean a certain way, and they may not subscribe to the same values and biblical principles of cleanliness and time you get up and time to go to bed. It could mean that you actually do engage in a conversation with somebody who you normally wouldn't, or you engage in that conversation pushing depth just a little bit more because you know how deeply meaningful it is for that person. I love the word picture that Chris Sloan used in the car. He said, don't miss these opportunities. It's much easier to skate above the ice than to crack the surface and dive into the deep. It's uncomfortable, he said, but it's worth it. Now, friends, I'll be honest with you. There are many times where I'd rather just skate on the surface. Okay? There are some one another's that I would rather not spend the holidays with. But after hearing what we've heard today, if I can come in it with the right mentality, the right approach, the right, well, I'm doing this in a way to submit and in a way because I'm doing this for Christ, then perhaps my own heart attitude will be in the right place. We want to act like Christ in order to honor Christ. Now, what other ways can you think of that we could do that? What other ways can you think of that we could put into practice what you've heard? Here's how we'll finish. I want to hear your ideas written down on your connection card. So I'm going to ask Tim to come on up. He's going to play quietly for just a minute or two. Write down one or two ways you may put this message into practice. One or two ways you may choose to submit to somebody else, family, extended family, church family, neighborhood family, in an effort to honor Christ. So write those down on the connection card, put your name on it, and we might put 3, 4, 5 of the good ones without your names on it in the midweek email so we can continue to learn from each other. So grab those connections. I'm going to pray. Tim's going to strum for a few minutes, and then I'm going to come back and close us. Lord, thank you that you speak, and thank you that sometimes you speak in ways that are challenging, that are hard. Lord, I know that even though I know that this was a message I needed to hear this morning. So I pray that you would help my heart as I enter into November and December for the events that will be taking place. May I act like you in order to honor you. I pray the same for the rest of us, as hard as that may be. And Lord, put on our minds and hearts, even now, a way or two in which we can put this into practice these next 7 or 8 weeks. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so for just a couple minutes, write down on your connection card, and then I'll come back up.